some nights not that much happens around baseball. We have to kind of struggle. What are we going to talk about today? Make something up. But not last night. A lot went down yesterday during the day, and of course at night. We had 16 games. We had a 20-strikeout performance. We had a multiple home run game. We had some awesome stuff in the bullpen. We're going to talk about it all right now. It's a busy show. You got to listen to the entire thing, people, or we're not friends. I'm Adam Azer with three friends who will be here for the entire thing. Al Melchior, hello, Al.
Hello. I was not aware there were people who didn't listen to the whole thing.
I believe it or not, they have the audacity to, you know, show up for work and they have to turn it off or something like that. Stay in the car. Stay in the parking lot. Listen to the whole thing. Chris Towers, good morning.
Yeah, it was a huge night. Max Scherzer gave up 2 home runs. Unbelievable.
And Heath Cummings, sarcasmometer is ready to be deployed, Heath.
I'd just like to get through this kind of quickly. I'm getting hungry. It's almost lunchtime.
It's not that. It's still pretty early. We started pretty much on time, which is.
I've been at work for 4.5 hours.
Why did you get to work at 5 a.m.?
My wife had a flight, and the airport is much closer to the office than my house. So I just dropped her off and then came to work and wrote a nice long piece about the terrible, awful, no good, very bad Athletics defense.
I mean, you were for 4 hours, so it better be long.
Yeah. Well, a lot of that time was spent researching a fact that I'd already accepted in my head was a fact, but I had to verify it before I could actually say it.
What, that their defense is bad?
No, that and this I think is something that just makes me believe more in defensive metrics, maybe. But there is a very strong negative correlation between team defensive runs saved and BABIP allowed. So if you have a high number of defensive runs saved, your BABIP allowed is low and vice versa. Not 100%, but that it's very strong.
Okay, so are there particular pitchers that are...
There's one particular pitcher that relies a lot on having a low BABIP because of the 13 pitchers that have an ERA of less than 3.2 since the start of 2014... and 450 innings, he has the lowest strikeout rate, and that's Sonny Gray.
Okay.
And the A's over the last 2 years, each year have been 8th in defensive runs saved. And this year, their defense is atrocious.
Hmm. So let's see. So Sonny Gray, he's got an 8% whiff rate this year, 56% ground ball rate, and Marcus Semien is a shortstop. What could go wrong?
Marcus Semien is the highest rated defensive player on the Athletics in defense.
But that is not a lie. This is concerning, I think. I mean, this is a really good point about Sonny Gray. Or have you doing this research, writing this story, waking up so early, maybe your brain's not working at 100%, but close to it. Are you a little bit more worried about Sonny Gray today than you were yesterday?
Yes.
Guys, anybody second or third that motion?
No, I'm just as worried as I was yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like
I'm the only person that didn't already realize all of these things.
No. Well, this is a new insight, but I was already worried.
I dropped him out of my top 30.
Okay. You know what? This is good. This brings it. Well, actually, that's kind of crazy. Drop him out of top 30. Not like you're wrong. Just wow.
I had him 24th.
Okay. This brings up a good point. Just thinking about all the time we've spent on this podcast talking about, you know, David Price and Dallas Keuchel and even Max Scherzer and Adam Jones, who's coming out of it now. How many times do these proven players who have been good year after year for a few years at least, how many times do they not bounce back? I feel like it's fun to talk about and people want to hear about it, so I'm not saying that we shouldn't discuss it, but I do kind of feel like inevitably you just have to have faith that they're all going to bounce back. Maybe not 100%, but close to it.
I feel like, and I have no evidence to back this up, that it's definitely a sliding scale. Like if you're David Price, the odds of you quote unquote bouncing back are higher than if you're Sonny Gray.
Yes.
And the odds of Sonny Gray bouncing back are much higher than Michael Pineda.
Well, I think it all depends on. Not every slow start is made equal.
Right.
Like, Al and I both happened to write about Corey Dickerson yesterday. And I think we probably both came to the same conclusion that Corey Dickerson's not going to be a 300 hitter away from Coors, but he's also not a sub Mendoza line hitter. And most of the indicators that we would look at with him show that he's pretty good, that he's hitting the ball well enough that you shouldn't drop him.
I think the ones that are more interesting though are the guys who a month into the season or 6 weeks into the season have several peripherals that look bad, because maybe they actually have been bad for the first 6 weeks, but they're still good enough players that you count on them not like Sonny Gray.
There's
He's done a lot of really bad things, yeah. And I expect him to fix several of those things by the end of the year.
Shorter version of that principle would be having been bad.
Yes.
Is not the same thing as it will be bad moving forward.
Right. And, but listen, like Corey Dickerson, Michael Pineda is not really who I was talking about. I'm talking about, you know, Adam Jones and better.
Justin Upton.
Yeah, Justin Upton, exactly. And we spend a lot of time worrying about these guys, and it's only natural, and we should. It's interesting. We should definitely talk about it. But at the same time, like Chris Archer, okay? Chris Archer had another bad start yesterday. Who's worried about him? Or I just kind of feel like you have to trust it at this point. I mean, I looked at his peripherals, and he's throwing 60.7% strike rate compared to 65%. So he is wild this year, and Sonny Gray's been wild too. And you could look at that, but I feel like you have to have faith that these guys will bounce back. And for the most part, I just can't remember a case where a guy goes from really good to bad without injury.
I mean,
well, yeah, that's the key phrase right there, without right. injury. Cause that's what I was going to say is usually player of this caliber, either they do bounce back or you find out eventually that they're hurt. And the guy that I thought about was Hanley Ramirez, who was very consistently great for a while, for a few years. And now from year to year and month to month, we have no idea how good he's going to be. And it could be very, very bad.
And I do think Chris Archer can be a little bit scarier too, because, I mean, he's basically got one great year. It's not the same as David Price.
It's not. You're right. You're right. Price, though, has velocity issues. So there are little nuances there. I thought about Cliff Lee and Roy Halladay, but those guys were much deeper into their career. They had so many innings. I mean,
I really do think, though, once you're in your 30s, drop-offs like that do happen sometimes.
So who are you worried about? Like, first five rounds, who are you worried about? I'm worried about Jason Hayward because of the wrist. I'm not saying he probably was like a sixth or seventh round pick, maybe. But, you know, I'm not going to get too technical. Hayward worries me a little bit because of the wrist. Other than that, I don't know. Price, I'd like to see the velocity come up. I have a feeling it will. I don't know that I'm really that worried about anyone else. How about you?
Yeah, I can't think of anybody. I was a little worried about Freddie Freeman, but he seems to be snapping out of it. Yeah, you mentioned Hayward.
I don't think D. Gordon's going to live up to expectations.
Probably not.
I think you can be worried about Troy Tulowitzki.
Yeah. I think his skill set has just declined. And that's one that we saw last season. His skill set across the board in nearly every relevant way declined. And that decline, if he had just stopped that decline and just been the same guy that he was last season, he still could have lived up to his ADP. But that decline seems to have continued. His swing strike rate is way up. His K rate is way up. It seems like he's trying to sell out for power and not being able to catch up to the pitches that he's selling out for.
And I thought of another one too, Brian Dozier. Yep. I'm definitely worried about, because he was not good in the second half last year, and that coincided with a hip issue that he did not have surgically repaired, and I have to wonder if he's still not right. Mm.
Okay, so because I was going to say that would not be the first time that Dozier was bad in the second half. He's been, I think, a bad second half player at least 2 years in a row. But you mentioned that the hip issue changes things. If you think that is an issue, then yeah, that's a red flag, sure. Okay, so let's get into yesterday's action now. Max Scherzer, 20 strikeouts. He did give up 2 home runs, and he's given up 11 homers in 52 innings. I mean, is he still a top 3 starting pitcher?
I've had him fourth. Okay. because I have Sale. I mean, I like Sale so much, but it's nothing against him. He's one of 4 guys that I didn't move Thor ahead of, so that tells you how much I like him.
Okay. We can move on then. Drew Pomeranz. I want to talk about Drew Pomeranz. You guys can talk about who stood out to you on Wednesday. I'm sorry if we're selling Max Scherzer short. I mean, what are you going to say? The guy struck out 20. He's incredible.
I do want to point out he had 33 swinging strikes yesterday.
I think 89 total strikes, or
that's
something very close to that.
Amazing.
Which is, I mean, I don't even know how to understand that.
He had 95 total strikes.
I sold him short with 89.
How many pitches? Like 112 or something? Not that many.
Asking me to do this maybe much more. Math in my head is not going to go well.
Well, whatever. I can find
117
that.
Maybe?
Yeah, it wasn't one of those pitch counts where you're worried about him next time out either. That's the really good thing here.
See, I've always thought I don't know this for sure, but the stuff that I've read and heard in the past is that over 115 is the magic number to where the next start can be rocky.
And I thought it was 120. And okay. I think with five pitches, you're splitting hairs.
119. So he's fine. He's either fine or he's ruined.
Well, sometimes you see those like no hitters where a guy throws 135 pitches or something. I'm just saying, at least it wasn't one of those. Now on to the other standouts. Who's buying Drew Pomeranz? 10 strikeouts and 6 scoreless innings at the Cubs. He did walk 3, which he's going to do, and he has a 180 ERA. Pomeranz is 81% owned, which puts him right around guys like Yordano Ventura and Michael Pineda and Jared Eichhoff, pitchers who owners want to drop right now, or at least they're thinking about it. You know, where is Pomeranz in that mix? Is he approaching the top 50 or 60?
Oh, he definitely is. Yeah, and I have to go look and see if I need to move him up, because if he's not there for me, he definitely should be. And of course, in head-to-head leagues, he has relief eligibility. Not that I think he needs that to be relevant in any format, but it certainly helps. But no, I mean, he's just become an absolutely dominant strikeout pitcher, and the control is still not good. He's walked 19 batters in 40 innings, so I can't say I'm 100% bought in, but he's doing everything else as well as you could ask for.
I don't know that I'm going to be able to get him all the way to top 60. I mean, you talk about a guy with high strikeout potential, but control issues. Do you like him better than Rich Hill?
I'd say slightly less.
Do you like him better than Adam Wainwright?
Yes.
Is there anybody you don't like better than Adam Wainwright that actually has a job starting?
Yeah, Adam Wainwright's better than multiple pitchers on the Atlanta Braves.
Wei-Yin Chen.
No, Wei-Yin Chen's better.
Jay Happ.
Jay Happ's probably better.
Andrew Kashner.
He has more upside.
Yeah, I'd go Wainwright over Kashner. They hit the magic name right there. All right, so Pomeranz, you know, pick this guy up if he's available. Would you rather have Michael Pineda or Drew Pomeranz?
I'm sticking with Pineda.
Pomeranz for me. I'll take the strikeouts without a zillion home runs.
Yeah, I'm really losing faith in Michael Pineda. It just seems like if he doesn't strike someone out, bad things tend to happen.
He would have been in. He would have had a much better game if he hadn't hit Lorenzo Cain on purpose last night.
He would have had a much better game if they had taken him out when they should have taken him out. But Pineda has what might be a correctable issue, and that is that he's terrible in the first two innings. He's got an ERA over 12 in the first two innings, and he's pretty good after that. You know, very good after that. Ran into a little bit of trouble late yesterday, but he shouldn't have been in the game. He should have taken him out.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, there's no way he should have been in the game. Now, I will say one thing they kept saying on the Royals broadcast was that opposing hitters are hitting like 380 off of Pineda's fastball this year.
Well, you know, that's because he only has two pitches. It's ridiculous. He throws a slider and a fastball. He barely throws his changeup anymore. You cannot. Very, very few pitchers can survive on two pitches. So it's definitely worrisome with Pineda. I mean, the only league I own him in is our 16-team league. I'm not dropping him there. But a 12-team league, if I had him in our podcast league, yeah, he'd be on my bench. I'd pick up.
Wait, anyone on your bench?
No, sorry. He'd be on waivers. Things. He'd be on waivers. I'd drop him.
I did think it was kind of fun that we faced each other in the podcast league, and you're killing me this week. But I started Ventura and you started Pineda. Like, we're the only two people still have the faith to start those guys.
That's 16
teams.
Yeah,
I didn't start Pineda.
I got a quality start out of Ventura. Not a good quality start, but it was a quality start.
Yeah, very good. All right. So other standouts, guys. You know what? Forget it. I'm taking control of the show because I have every standout in the notes. Very comprehensive stuff. And I'll come back.
What about?
Go ahead.
No. I was...
whoever you're about to say is in the notes. I wanted to know, though, more generally speaking, if you guys have made any interesting ad drops lately, any interesting trade offers, guys you want to trade. We could look at the most traded list. Anything that's really been something you want to share with our listeners?
I made a trade offer to Heath in AL only yesterday. I have no idea how he feels about it.
Last night, right? I mean, it's not been 24 hours yet. It's an interesting trade offer.
And it's a good segue because it involves Yordano Ventura. plus Sean Doolittle going to Heath for Colin McHugh.
Huh. I think I'm going to have to accept it.
You're going to give up Ventura? Oh, you're going to give up McHugh for Ventura and Doolittle?
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter because my AL only and NL only teams are so awful.
Never say die, Heath.
I mean, I'm not going to give up. I wouldn't be that guy, but, they're terrible because it's AL and NL only roto. So you've got like four players in your starting lineup that don't even actually play. Well, I do. I'll probably accept that deal.
All right. Well, what is it?
And I want to know what you guys think. It got turned down and I wasn't sure how it would go. I have Michael Conforto as a keeper for two more years. I offered him to the Miguel Sano owner who also has him for two more years. And that got turned down. What did you guys think of that?
So one more time.
Conforto for Sano. Yeah. All other things being equal.
Keeper league.
Yes.
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot.
Because Conforto's been pretty significantly better than Sano this season.
Al, you like it for who? Like, which side would you rather have?
For Chris, I'd rather have Sano.
Okay. Yeah, it got turned down, so apparently the other guy agrees with you. But I'm having trouble figuring out how to value Michael Conforto. Because I have him in my league, and I think he's a sell-high candidate. Just because I don't think he's going to keep hitting for the kind of power that he has. But I'm not sure. I don't feel confident in it. I don't feel great doubting what he's done so far.
And I do have doubts about Sano's ability to hit for average. So I guess there's some kind of complementary concerns with those guys. But on the whole, I'd rather have Sano.
Okay.
And Sano homered last night, during the day. And Heath, you mentioned a couple days ago that Sano looks like one of the unluckiest players so far. So good to see him get that homer yesterday, right?
It was a beautiful thing.
Yeah, so... There you go. Anything else? I've been trying to trade Jose Quintana unsuccessfully, and I still want to trade Ryan Braun because I'm worried about injury. And I made a trade offer for JD Martinez. It got rejected, and now JD Martinez is heating up, I think. So I feel like... Yeah, go ahead.
That ship has sailed. There's no more buying low on JD Martinez.
Well, he's still not hitting that well, but I just want to put it in perspective. JD Martinez right now is batting .230 with 5 home runs. And on May 11th last year, he was batting .222 with 6 home runs. And then he started getting hot on May 12th. So it's going to continue. I don't even know if they're playing today. But right now, early to mid-May, that's JD Martinez's time to shine. He's about to get going. He's a streaky player based on last year. Totally fact. All right, let's do the news and notes. Bryce Harper has been suspended one game. He will appeal. Todd Frazier's day-to-day with a lacerated lower lip. Alliteration there. Detroit called up Daniel Norris, but he is expected to pitch out of the bullpen. Is he worth stashing, Daniel Norris?
Probably
deep,
not.
Deep, deep, deep.
Okay. Steven Matz is going to have his next start skipped due to elbow soreness.
Shocking.
Logan Verrett's going to start in his place. They say it's no big deal. Let's cross our fingers there on Matz. But Verrett, you know, I saw him picked up in our 16-team league. Kind of interesting. Speculation.
Yeah, he's done well when he started. I think he started 2 games this season. Both of them have been pretty good. So
and last year, too.
And the nice part of that speculation, I mean, you're picking him up for this start when Matz is missing. And this says nothing about the Mets or anything at all, but if you have that many young pitchers that throw that hard, you are going to have plenty of opportunities for a 6th starter.
Well, they've had
already plenty of opportunities.
Matz has already needed a Tommy John surgery in his career. Yeah. DeGrom also, Harvey also, yes. Wheeler also,
Syndergaard TBD.
I'm going to say no.
Syndergaard had his elbow checked.
The slider is safer for the elbow than the traditional slider.
That's what they say.
Allegedly.
His Look, what? His,
the proof
his,
is not
in
the
pudding. In fairness, Harvey's the only one who's had surgery after throwing the Worthen slider.
Okay.
Just pointing, throwing that out there.
Interesting. Well, Syndergaard did have his elbow checked after his last start. He obviously pitched yesterday and pitched well. And he
hit
two home runs. Yeah. Off Kenta Maeda.
Some fun Thursday facts. Noah Syndergaard now has a 667 slugging percentage on the year and a 393 WOBA. Those would both be first on the Braves.
Oh, yeah, by
like by a lot.
Wide
mark. He also has two home runs on the year, which would be second on the Braves.
That's funny. Yeah.
I would assume he has a lower OPS allowed than a slugging four.
I would assume so.
You know, just one thing about Syndergaard, he's only made one start with over 90, with more than 99 pitches. So that's, I think that's what separates him from some of the other aces.
I think that's smart.
It is smart, but this was the first time, he went eight innings yesterday, and that was the most he's pitched this year. Most innings.
Yeah, I'll take six or seven innings from Noah Syndergaard every single time.
No, I'm not saying
and
that.
And I will put that up against seven or eight innings from nearly every other pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, nearly every other pitcher, but not every other pitcher. Yeah. Okay, forget it. Not worth even arguing. I'm not disagreeing. David Wright dealing with shoulder soreness. Sam Dyson got the save. Sean Tolleson unavailable yesterday. Domingo Santana returned to the lineup. Victor Martinez played his third game at first base, and he went 3-for-4. He went 3-for-4, and Max Scherzer struck out 20 guys yesterday. And Victor Martinez is batting 348.
Three of the four hits off Max Scherzer.
I mean, like, if he's first base eligible, which he's two games at first base away from doing. Now, again, I think they're out of NL Parks for a while, if not for the rest of the season. I'm not sure. Where would you rank Victor Martinez? Would you rank him ahead of Freddie Freeman, Eric Hosmer, Adrian Gonzalez, that group?
Right in that group.
The only one I might put him ahead of is Gonzalez.
I think I'd put him ahead of Freeman. I have Freeman below Gonzalez. So I'd put him ahead of Freeman, maybe Gonzalez, not Hosmer.
Okay,
and Mickey started at third.
Oh. That was his first, I think?
First start there.
Okay.
Maybe his first game. I can look that up.
Yeah, please do. Miguel Montero could be back this weekend. Andrew Cashner is going to miss his next start due to hamstring cramps. Glenn Perkins could be back in early to mid-June, they're looking at for Perkins. Lance McCullers is going to start tomorrow, and Houston will use a six-man rotation for now. So I guess they're still auditioning. Nobody seems to want to relinquish their spot. Everybody keeps pitching pretty well.
All right, who's better the rest of season, Lance McCullers or Vince Velasquez?
McCullers wins.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
I thought Adam was going to say Davinsky.
I'll go McCullers, too.
All right.
And, yeah, Miggy just one game so far at third base.
Davinsky, by the way, I watched him pitch the other night. He's not the most impressive.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they'll probably catch up to him. But, you know, look... There's no such thing
as a pitching prospect.
You could sit there and poo-poo him all you want. The people who have been starting Davinsky are pretty happy right now, whether they won 1 week because of it or, you know, he's still done well. I mean, he's six innings, two runs.
There are dozens of us. Dozens.
Yeah, he should be. Yeah. Logan Forsyth could be back tomorrow, and autocorrect of the day, Arizona outfielder David Overalls will see a hand specialist about his sore wrist. David Peralta autocorrected to Overalls. Gonna see a hand specialist. He has a sore wrist. That's a little dicey. Hopefully he's okay. All right. Struggling studs. Three of them yesterday. Chris Archer, Cole Hamels, we can probably whatever that. And Taijuan Walker. Interesting start for him. All right. Archer and Walker. Can we just forget about Hamels? He's fine. He's having a good year.
Yeah. Oh, we could definitely forget about Hamels. Maybe you can find an owner who thinks that he's not fantastic and
He's awesome. Archer and Walker. All right. Do you guys have any? Here's my big take, hot take on this. If anybody is worried about Walker for those last two starts, give him to me. Cause this guy looked so damn good for five innings. He fell apart with his control in the sixth and he gave up the grand slam. But I think I like what I'm seeing from Taijuan Walker. This guy's good.
Yeah. I think as long as we can ban our good friend Vixen Rogue from tweeting about him during the game, then he should be fine because he had a shutout going until that happened.
He had a what going?
Shutout.
Oh, okay. It's not what it sounded like.
Wow. Al.
Al, wow.
I will say.
Dirty mind.
Just what I heard.
I think Walker now 25th among starting pitchers. I'm not really concerned about him at all.
Now, what about Archer?
Really interesting is he's finally throwing his curveball more. He's been really a two kind of three pitch pitcher because he's thrown his fastball and a cutter and then a splitter as his main secondary pitch. He's throwing his curveball a lot. He threw it 17 times last night, 14% of the time for the season. So that's definitely something to keep an eye on. Because
are you talking about Taiwan Walker or Archer?
I am talking about Taiwan Walker.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Now, the curveball hasn't been great for him this season, and that's been an issue. He's kind of worked it in and out of his repertoire over the last couple of years. Last season, it was, I think he kind of abandoned it as his season went on and he got better. And I'm pretty sure he had reverse splits as a result of that. And that's something that if you're a right-handed pitcher that can get lefties out, you've already got, you're starting from a pretty good base. Like, you can only be so bad if you can keep lefties and righties to a roughly similar batted line against. But if you can become an elite pitcher against righties and pretty good against lefties, that's how you become an ace.
Al, tell me about Chris Archer. Should we be concerned?
Yeah, I do think we should be concerned. So I guess this is another one who was an early rounder that at least has me worried because the control is still bad. And maybe this goes back to A.J. Burnett in the last few years in his career, but it's just when a pitcher has some pretty serious control issues and then he seems to solve them for a while, I'm still not completely trusting. So that when that issue rears its head again, I do have concern.
You still like Archer better than Walker rest of season, right?
I have him ranked higher.
I dropped him down to 22, but that's as far as I could drop him.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to be able to stay ahead of Walker in my rankings for much longer if he doesn't turn around really fast.
Hmm. Man, see, I'm just wondering if this is just a scenario where this guy's a great pitcher and he's going to start dominating soon.
He just has to start throwing more strikes and everything should be fine. But I think there's a kind of a domino effect here where he finds himself in bad counts and makes bad pitches and it's hurting his whole stat line other than the strikeouts.
You know, a name that I've got him very close to in the rankings, and I'm kind of starting to wonder if maybe they just switched bodies, is Danny Salazar.
Oh, I was going to say, I had a feeling you were going there. But he's another guy who struggles with control.
Yeah, and he's not been any better with control this year. He's just gotten a lot better with strikeouts.
And hits.
His control is actually the worst it's been all year. And I don't know. I struggle with using the terminology of control for pitchers that are walking more batters if they're throwing more pitches in the strike zone.
Well, what does control mean?
But I think a lot of times...
Like, Francisco Liriano throws zero pitches in the strike zone. That doesn't mean he has bad control.
Oh, no, I think he does.
I think he definitely has bad control.
Okay.
Like, he misses the opposite side of the plate from the catcher sometimes.
I think he's got bad control but good command.
I don't know about... Wow. That was deep. That was deep.
And as soon as that came out of my mouth, I'm wondering if that's...
Like, okay.
If that could be the case.
But, like, he's... Some pitchers are intentionally throwing out of the zone. Some pitchers are intentionally throwing in the zone. That it's control is not just about how often you throw a pitch in the strike zone. Because if you threw 100% of your pitches in your strike zone,
you get crushed.
You'd be Phil Hughes and you're bad.
Right. My point is this. If a pitcher throws the exact same number of pitches in the strike zone as last year and just has a lot less swings outside of the strike zone, is he having a control problem or a stuff problem? Could be either one, right?
It could be either one, yeah.
Well, who are you referring to?
Salazar is throwing pretty much the exact same number of pitches in the strike zone as he was last year. His swings percentage outside the strike zone has just gone down from 32% to 25%.
Well, he's having such a great year in fantasy. Is this fool's gold? Are you worried the bubble will burst for Danny Salazar?
Well, he's not going to be this good. I don't think he's going to compete to be one of the top five pitchers in fantasy.
Obviously.
But I've got him, I've moved him up almost into my top 20. So, like, and I'm wondering, because I'm going to look with Chris Archer to see if it's the same thing. Like, because Chris Archer's biggest problem is his slider is just not very good right now, right?
It was good last night. Got 8 swinging strikes on it. I think that has been the issue this season overall. Is that the slider has not been quite as effective.
And maybe it's dumb and it doesn't matter what we say either way, but I really wonder if it's a control problem when guys are walking more, but their strike percentage seems the same.
All right, well, let's move on here. Let me just throw out some names to finish this discussion. Chris Archer or Steven Matz. Well, I guess, you know, you can't touch Matz because of the injury right now. Chris Archer or Carlos Martinez?
Carmart.
Hmm. Yeah, I'll agree. Carmart.
Sure.
Sir.
Chris Archer or Jordan Zimmerman?
Archer.
I've got Zimmerman one spot behind Archer.
They're I'll not even close. Archer. They're not even close.
Well, they're not even close to the same type of pitcher at all. No, they're complete
they
opposites.
Are Chris Archer. No way. Jordan Zimmerman is striking out like three guys per 15 innings. Exaggeration.
That's not exactly accurate.
Yes. All right.
Well, here's
on.
The reason. It's not because I think that Jordan Zimmerman at his best can be as good as Chris Archer at his best. It's not even close.
No, it's not.
I agree. But the odds of Chris Archer just not being good this year are growing. Jordan Zimmerman, we kind of know what he's probably going to be.
Yeah, all right. I mean, that is a fair argument, but I got faith in Archer to turn it around. Rest of season. Who would you rather have moving on? Would you rather have Curtis Granderson, who's struggling right now? Or Jackie Bradley Jr., who is on a 17-game hitting streak with a 1309 OPS. Hottest hitter
in baseball.
I would
definitely rather have Granderson.
Yep.
Who knows if Bradley is going to keep this going. I keep saying that with each game. I doubt that statement more and more. But, you know, Granderson is a pretty known quantity.
I had someone on Twitter give me credit for believing in Jackie Bradley last season. I want to point out I did not believe in this. Or what he did in the second half of last season, really. I thought he could be decent. This is really impressive. He's hitting the ball really well. 42.7% hard contact rate. I don't know. I mean, I guess I'd rather have Granderson because of the track record, but I don't think it's close to a guarantee that he's going to be better than Bradley.
We'll put it this way. Bradley, I'm still not sure if I would start him in a three outfielder league. I mean, certainly now, mm-hmm. you know, play the hot hand kind of thing. But, you know, beyond the next week, I know I want Curtis Granderson in that lineup, three outfielder league, pretty much week after week.
Curtis Granderson is batting .205 with six home runs at the end of May last year. End of May, .234, much better than .205, but six home runs and 16 RBIs. And then he was very good over the next 3 months. So he's another really streaky hitter. Would you rather have Jackie Bradley Jr. or Nomar Mazara?
I think I'll go Mazara here.
Yeah, I'm moving Bradley up for what seems like the fifth time in the last 2 weeks, but I still haven't got him up into Nomar Mazara range.
Okay.
Okay.
Would you rather have rest of season? Go to shortstops here. Trevor Story or Jung Ho Kang?
I'm sticking with Gong.
I've Gong ranked higher, and yet I've got Story in a few leagues, and I wouldn't trade him. So I think I got to rethink that one. It's very close. I think whichever one I'd had, I wouldn't trade for the other.
I'd certainly like to have both.
Yeah, you could play one at short and one at third.
Exactly.
Would you rather have them over Torii Tulowitzki?
I moved Gong. I made the statement on Friday when Gong came back. I told Alan Scott that I was waiting for the first Gong home run so I could move him ahead of Troy Tulowitzki. And he hit two that night. And so I moved him ahead of Troy Tulowitzki.
Twice.
I got him sixth, Tulo seventh, Story eighth. And I need to move Story ahead of Tulo.
Was Gong better than Tulo last year?
I think it depends. Probably not over the full season.
Maybe on a per game basis.
I think on a per game basis. I think from the time that Gong started playing regularly, he was.
Gong was .287, .355, .461 with 15 home runs in 126 games. He was terrible in April for 13 games, and then he started playing regularly and was very good.
And hey, just like random note, how about the fact that all of the Korean hitters are awesome?
I believe Fangraphs just wrote about that.
Yeah, that is fantastic.
Well, so who? I know there's Byung-ho Park and Jung Ho Gong. Who else?
Dae-ho Lee.
Dae-ho Lee. The who's the guy for the Mariners?
Dae-ho Lee.
Who's the guy for the Orioles then?
Kim.
Yeah, he's been doing pretty. He's been doing okay.
Yeah,
he started off in the minors.
Yeah,
they're all doing.
And
well.
Actually, he didn't. He wouldn't go to the minors.
That's right.
So he sat on the bench for the first week.
Yeah. No, he's been good.
He hasn't been fantasy relevant though.
I'm just giving some love.
Hyunsoo Kim. I just want to see how many at-bats he has.
Just showing love to the KBO.
He's 23 at-bats. So he doesn't play that much.
And
but yeah,
awesome.
He's done well. He's batting .478 with a .522 slugging percentage.
Make bats flip again.
Here's what I found interesting when I was looking at some rankings, or not rankings, but standings, like for the players, where they, I don't know what, how would you even say he's the number, is that rankings? That standings? What the heck is that? When you look at where players rank so far, not your rankings, but
is Adam okay?
Who are you talking to?
Anyone out there?
I'll call those rankings.
Okay, yeah.
But
so
not.
There's
our rankings, but we're not. You know, we don't have them cornered the market on rankings.
Results.
Yeah, sure. Looking at the results so far,
that's
Mike Napoli has been better than Freddie Freeman, and you know Freeman's heating up, but Napoli is number 16 in points, number 12 in Roto at first base. He's 26% owned, and the guy has now 7 home runs. Should we be paying more attention? And 8 doubles. Should we be paying more attention to Mike Napoli?
Let's put it this way. I mean, he's not that far ahead of Freddie Freeman. And if I didn't have faith that Freddie Freeman would be going forward hitting more like he has lately than he was early in the season, I would have no interest in Freddie Freeman. So I have pretty much no interest in Mike Napoli.
I mean, okay. If Mike Napoli does what he's done so far the rest of the year, he should be owned in all Roto leagues.
Yeah. Do you think he could?
I think it's unlikely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you are frustrated with your lousy fantasy teams, or if you love your teams and you just want to play more fantasy baseball, why don't you play at FanDuel.com? Seriously, why wouldn't you like FanDuel? It's fantasy baseball, a new team every day. Play as little or as often as you want. Contests start at just $1. And if you have a fear of commitment, guys, not with FanDuel. There's really no commitment required, okay? Like I said, contests start at $1, no season-long commitment. You decide when you want to play, and you can win some money. Our listeners win money all the time when they play daily fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. Join the fun. Join the party. Sign up today. Enter your first league. Either win a cash prize in that league or get a refund. FanDuel will refund that entry fee up to $10 for additional play. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, sign up with our promo code HOMERUN, one word, no spaces, HOMERUN, to get that free entry, get the refund back if you don't cash, up to $10. So enjoy some fantasy baseball on FanDuel.com. I'm going to give you some names. Tell me if you're considering them in AL only or NL only. These guys are really, you know, not owned. Tyler Wilson for Baltimore. 8%. What is wrong with me today? Jeez. Tyler Wilson, 8% owned. Considering him an AL only?
Sure, if he were available there. With an 8% ownership rate, he's probably not available in too many AL only leagues. And that's the extent of where I would look for him because he is not a strikeout pitcher.
No, he's not. Chris Medlin may miss his next start due to a shoulder issue. Also, Chris Young is banged up. So I don't know. Danny Duffy, Heath, could he join the Royals rotation?
They seem to really not want Danny Duffy to be a starter. I mean, so much so that Chris Young and Chris Medlin are in the rotation. I mean, Dylan G is going to start for Young. We know that.
Okay.
I think it will come down to Duffy and the left-handed pitcher that they just called up that pitched against the Yankees a couple days ago.
Were you hoping one of us would look it up? So that
I was thinking one of you would like say his name.
Oh, Brian Flynn. You got two Marlins fans here who couldn't come up with Brian Flynn.
And I mean, if I had to set odds, I would favor Brian Flynn.
Well, what about Mike Minor?
He's not ready yet.
I mean, he's not ready now, but
I think
he was horrible in his first rehab start, but he could be ready in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen pretty good evidence that taking Braves pitchers that used to be good and are coming off of injuries is pretty close to a sure thing.
Well, I mean, is Dylan G somebody you'd be looking to pick up in an AL-only league?
In an AL-only league, yes.
I looked into it and thought better of it.
Okay. To NL-only.
I think he's good. You
make that 2-for-1 trade with me, you'll have a roster spot, though, and then you can go get him.
All right, Dylan G, here we come.
All right, going over to NL-only, looking at San Diego, do you think Christian Bethencourt could earn more playing time for the Padres?
I wish he would. Third home run, so in limited playing time, that's a good amount of power. And you know, maybe there's more to the bat than what we saw you know, in the majors and in the upper minors. I'd like to see him get a shot. Derek Norris is not doing a whole lot there.
And Andy Green wants to keep Brett Wallace in the San Diego lineup. So, again, you just need somebody who's getting playing time. I mean, he's probably owned, but Brett Wallace. The Angels acquired Yolish Chacin. Williams Perez replaced Chacin in the Atlanta rotation. He pitched very well against the Phillies. Anybody interested in Williams Perez in the deepest of leagues?
No.
In the deepest of leagues, sure.
What is the deepest of leagues?
All right, fine. Like, let's say 10-team NL only.
10-team NL only?
That's not the deepest.
No.
No, it's not. It's not. So
it is. No.
Okay. So deeper than that. Aaron Hicks. Aaron Hicks is 7% owned, and I actually feel like he could end up being mixed league relevant. He's going to play a lot until A-Rod comes back. It's not just about Ellsbury being out. So I think he's solid and kind of turning around a little bit. So just keep an eye on
him. He's got some turning left to do.
He sure does. He got off to a terrible start, but now that he's playing every day, he's starting to hit.
How many lefties do the Yankees have on the schedule?
You know what,
up?
Chris? I'm glad you
if
asked.
If the question
he's not...
isn't all of them, then I'm not interested in Aaron Hicks.
He's not doing anything against lefties so far this year. He's actually hitting against righties.
And I will take the four-year sample size over the...
Maybe, like Daniel Murphy, he got rid of a toe tap from that side.
Sure. But also, he's going to one of the best parks to be a left-hand. He's a switch hitter, but to hit lefty.
Yeah, the guy's got a 604 career OPS against right-handed pitchers.
Did Jackie Bradley add a toe tap when he got hot last year?
The toe tap is something you can give, you can take away. It helps different people in different ways.
Yeah.
And then the nice thing about adding...
It's almost like it's voodoo. And it's not actually the reason these guys are good or bad.
Do you know what the best part about adding a toe tap is? If you get a cold streak next year, you can just take it away.
That's exactly what David Wright said when he had it added a toe tap a couple weeks ago. He said, the next time I go 0 for 4, I will not have the toe tap.
Yeah. By the way, you can't judge Aaron Hicks's career. He's getting better as a player, Chris.
Like, well, not this year.
Not yet. I'm not adding him in any leagues. I'm just saying. 7% owned, he's going to play every day. And he's talented. All right. Legitometer. I got two pitchers on the legitometer. 0 to 10. 10 is totally legit. Don't even think about selling high. 0 is these guys suck. You should actually be dropping them. Jaime Garcia and Rick Porcello. Let's start with Jaime Garcia. 0 to 10 on the legitometer. He struck out 8 Angels, and they have the fewest strikeouts in baseball by far. So let's talk about Garcia. 0 to 10, Al.
He's an 8. Yeah, he's striking everybody out. And I was going to go 9, and then I thought about the injury history. So I'm not sure the health status this year is totally legit. And then I just reserve that 10th point for somebody who's just leaves no doubt.
So a 0 is drop, and a 10 is don't even think about selling high.
Yeah.
So I think I would be a 5, which would be I'm definitely keeping him on my roster unless somebody makes me a trade offer that's selling high.
All right, here's my issue with Jaime Garcia. He has had 3 great starts this year. Complete game shutout with 13 strikeouts against Milwaukee, and then 2 7 innings of scoreless ball against the Phillies and the Angels.
These are weird things to hold against him.
His other 4 starts at Atlanta in his season opener, then the Cubs, Diamondbacks, and Nationals, he didn't pitch well in any of those 4. 0 quality starts. So what I'm seeing is a guy who has, other than the Braves start, who's been great against bad teams, and hasn't even delivered a quality start against the good teams, and he has 13 walks and 22 and a third against the Cubs, Diamondbacks, Nationals, and Braves. So that would be my red flag for Jaime Garcia, is he just beating up on lousy opponents.
I think Jaime Garcia is almost always undervalued because he doesn't typically get strikeouts, and I don't think the 9.5 strikeouts per 9 is legit. But I just think he's a good pitcher.
But he is showing just, I think, a lot more, you know, moxie as a strikeout pitcher this year. I mean,
yeah,
swings and misses pretty consistently.
Swings and misses have been up, but he's not, I don't know, like he's not throwing different pitches. He's throwing them all right around the same velocity. So it's just like, it'd be one thing if he like threw a new pitch or something, but like he has a pretty established track record as a 7 to 6.75 strikeouts per 9 guy. And that's just what I have trouble with.
This is fun because he's had a lot of injury concerns, obviously, over his career. But since the start of 2014, he's made exactly 34 starts now. And he's thrown 218 innings with a 2.80 ERA and a whip of 1.03 since the start of 2014.
He's really good.
Yeah.
That's good. That's good stuff.
He's legit.
All right. He's legit. How about Rick Porcello? With a 3.11 ERA, 10 walks, 46 strikeouts, and 46 and a third. What do you think? Rick Porcello, 0 to 10, guys.
Well, if I gave Garcia an 8, I'll give Porcello a 7, just a notch below, because we did see him improve late last season, and he's carried it over with the improved strikeout rate. And
with even fewer swinging strikes. His swinging strike rate's down to 7.5%.
That wasn't how he was doing it.
I know.
Late last year,
I have trouble buying this, like, he's getting a bunch of called strikes and it's
some
sustainable
pitchers,
thing.
Some pitchers do sustain it. It's not a lot, but.
I know some pitchers do. I just have trouble buying that Rick Porcello will be one of them.
One of the maddest I've ever gotten at Chris was on the set of the Daily Fantasy Live show we used to do when I wrote my first sleepers column of the year and had Rick Porcello in it. And Chris went on an epic rant about Rick Porcello and how he was never going to be as good as his peripherals. And I got so, I don't even like to admit it because I know it makes Chris feel a little bit warm inside that I got angry, but I got so frustrated with him. I'll go 6.
Okay, cool. Ready? Next segment.
Chris isn't even playing this game. He won't give a number for either guy.
I gave a number for Garcia, right?
No, you didn't.
Porcello doesn't deserve a number.
I filibustered.
You filibustered. All right, let's go to our next segment. It's called Love 'Em or Leave 'Em. You know, you could call this anything you want. Buy or sell. Keep 'em, drop 'em, whatever. Love 'em or leave 'em for the following pitchers. And basically, do you love 'em enough to keep 'em on your roster or leave 'em on waivers? Well, this is a really poorly named segment.
Yeah, if they were all on waivers, then love them or leave them would make sense.
Yeah, you're right.
Because if you love Yordano Ventura, then you're going to leave him on your roster.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to change the segment to
hold or drop.
Yeah, keep or drop. No, but hold
some
or
of
drop.
These, okay.
That's horrible. Keep or drop is much better. Keep or drop, Matt Latos, 82% owned.
Drop, drop, drop.
Yeah. Like it's hot.
Drop.
I started off with the easy one.
I think the 18% of leagues that Matt Latos is not owned in is our leagues.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to have to leave him on the waiver wire because I don't think anybody actually owns him.
Keep or drop Yordano Ventura, 88% owned.
Well, I'm keeping him, but I'm trying to trade him to Heath.
Yeah, I'll keep him.
Keep him.
I don't think he's very good, but I'll keep him for the off chance that he figures something out.
My biggest problem with making that trade, Al, I think it's a good offer. It's just I already have him on two teams, and I don't want any more Yordano exposure.
Keep or drop Michael Pineda, 80% owned.
I'm keeping him on my bench.
Keeping him.
Push came to shove, I drop him.
Keep or drop Jared Eichhoff. What a pathetic start last night at the Braves. Wow. Jared Eichhoff. Yeah,
I feel like that keeps happening. We keep like expecting people to do really well against the Braves, and then they just don't. Maybe I'm just
except Adam Morgan.
Wasn't that the Padres
true.
Last week?
Maybe. Maybe I'm getting the Padres and Braves confused.
It's not it's a difficult to thing do. To do at all.
Yeah, no, like with Pineda, I'm not actively looking to drop Eichhoff, but for the right pickup, I could do it.
Yep.
I'm probably keeping Eichhoff.
How about Juan Nicasio, keep or drop?
That's a tough one because I do have him in several leagues, and I'm starting to think about dropping.
I don't think I have him in any. I probably would drop. I mean, I don't know who his next matchup is. I think he's going to be kind of matchup dependent.
This is like the third week in a row, though, where I've sat him because of the matchups, and at some point, it's like, well, how often am I going to trust him?
I do feel like...
And this is the Reds, too.
I'm fine with like picking up guys who have upside and dropping someone like Nicasio or Pineda or Eichhoff. But if it's just for like a streaming guy that I won't use long term, I think I'd still rather stash Nicasio. Just because I think they still have upside.
I don't think Nicasio's been that bad. It's not like last night was a bad start. It wasn't good. I mean,
yeah, his ERA is well over 4, isn't it?
Yeah, 4.34.
That's bad.
Strikeout per inning.
Well, and the reason I worried about him at Cincinnati because I don't view the Reds as a tough matchup, but I don't trust Nicasio in a home run ballpark.
And a strikeout per inning at 6 to 7 innings per game is much, much better than a strikeout per inning at 4 2/3 per game.
That's about math. Wei-Yin Chen? Drop, love him or leave him, or drop him or keep him? What do you want to do with Wei-Yin Chen? 73% owned.
I'll put him in the same category as the last three, even after this great start. Yeah, he is a guy. I like him with two starts, but I almost would never start him with one start. So he could be bumped.
Okay. We got about 10 minutes left. I think we've done a pretty nice job today, but I will throw out my favorite sell high candidate is Mark Trumbo. Like
future AL MVP Mark Trumbo?
He's a 260 hitter and he's batting 323. He's got 11 home runs, but he's also a guy other than last year was different, but throughout his career Trumbo has been a bad second half player. I think you got to sell him. What do you guys think?
I really struggle with the narrative of good second half player versus bad second half player. I just don't think I really believe it.
I mean,
I do think there are some players, and I don't think there's a lot of them. I think there are some players who just really don't do well early.
Yes, slow starters. Yeah. I would buy that. And if you showed me a guy, I don't know what Trumbo, like Trumbo's a big guy, but I don't feel like he's in terrible shape. If this guy is in bad shape, maybe it makes sense that they're not good in the second half. Older players I could see not being as good in the second half. Maybe.
You also could see older players not be good in the first half.
Yeah, well, old players are old.
Okay, so you don't really feel in the same way about Trumbo.
That is known as a tautology.
I don't think you can. Like, I'd be interested to see what type of offers you would get on Mark Trumbo if you put him on the block. I don't think you can sell him high.
Yeah. He's kind of a known commodity.
Yes.
I don't think anybody's buying the Mark Trumbo breakout.
Okay, well then that's fine. I mean, at least we're putting it in those terms. Right. Heath, who are we starting in FanDuel tonight?
Man, can we just take a minute to enjoy Max Scherzer's 93-point performance last night? I don't know when we'll ever see that number again. Maybe not the rest of the year. Probably not.
I would assume not.
I mean, technically, I guess he gave up two runs. So if Kershaw went a complete game shutout and struck out 18, then he'd match it.
Yeah, but other than that, like he'd have.
Speaking of Kershaw, the Mets aren't very good against lefties, right?
I would not.
Oh, they were. I think they've cooled down, but earlier in the year they were actually
had barely played any.
Yeah,
but they don't have a lot of players that are good against lefties.
Right, they shouldn't be good against lefties.
Okay, okay. The problem is he's $12,500 tonight. That's a lot. Greinke and Cueto are going against each other. Keuchel and Price are going against each other. That's a bad situation. Also, I'm going to play some Kershaw. I'll play some Vince Velasquez for sure. I really don't think there's a lot of, like, if you wanted to go super cheap, there's not anybody left-handed in that Padres lineup that scares me against Jimmy Nelson, even though it's at home. I could see Nelson against the Padres. Do you have the BVP stats at the ready for us, Adam?
No, or did you want? I don't have any.
Like, this is your thing.
It was BBP. Such a busy day. I didn't have time to. Such a busy
okay,
night of
well,
baseball.
I have it right here. And Chris, I should let him do this because he loves BVP. But Miguel Cabrera has a 349 average, 973. Miguel Cabrera against Ubaldo Jimenez. Aaron Hill has had a lot of success with four home runs against James Shields.
So is Bartolo Colon.
Adrian Gonzalez has 458 average and two home runs against Bartolo. I know you like these smaller sample sizes better. JD Martinez has two home runs and nine plate appearances against Ubaldo.
Yeah, I like the Tigers against Ubaldo, and I like left-handed Royals against Nate Eovaldi.
I'll probably stack the Orioles.
Yeah.
Big Delphs in town.
The Orioles are facing Pelfrey. That should be a high-scoring game, Tigers-Orioles in Camden Yards.
How do you feel about pitcher versus team?
I feel kind of... I think it's interesting.
Okay. There's several good ones today. It's just for fun. The Mets hitters have faced Clayton Kershaw 88 times in their young career. They have one extra base hit and a 216 on base.
Wow.
370 OPS against Kershaw as a team.
370 OPS. Wow.
Yes. Astros hitters have a 455 OPS against David Price, but that's when he was good. And the only issue with playing Kershaw is it could be a 0-0 shutout because Bartolo's on the other side, or Bartolo might just take him yard. Dodgers hitters have a 569 OPS against Bartolo.
I will say I'm not. I don't think I could have the guts to start Keuchel or Price tonight, facing each other.
I would be more likely to start Price.
Yeah, but I just
because he at least has the high strikeout potential. That Red Sox offense, man.
Yeah.
You said that. I doubted you, and now they're going to score 10 runs a game.
Well, right now they're locked in, but they faced some pretty, you know, well, they faced Sonny Gray, Sean Manaea, and Eric Sirkamp, so guys who aren't pitching very well right now for the A's.
Keuchel, you didn't hear my Eric Sirkamp stat yet from yesterday, did you?
No.
The only active starter in the majors with at least 75 innings pitched and an ERA under 6 and a K per 9. ERA over 6 and K per 9 under 6.
Eric Sirkamp?
More earned runs than strikeouts.
He's not very good.
That's the worst.
Don't trade for him, but let's grade some trades to finish the show. Peter from New York City. Dear Roger, Kerry, Randy, and Max. 20 strikeout club. Here's a trade I recently offered in my league, but it was rejected. I thought it was interesting. I offered Kluber and Pujols for Darvish and Joey Bats. So he would have gotten Darvish and Bautista to give up Kluber and Pujols. Would you guys have accepted that deal? Which side would you rather have?
I would rather have the Kluber and Pujols side.
I would too. I really had to think about it though, because that's a big bat upgrade there.
Yes. For sure.
But I can't trust Darvish.
Yeah, Darvish is by no means a sure thing. And I know we think, you know, 1/4 of us think Corey Kluber's terrible.
Oh, shut your mouth. That is not
but
true.
But you, Darvish, as good as I think he can be, and I think he pretty much can be an ace, you know, he's never been a super low ERA guy despite the really good strikeout rate. And he's coming here from Tommy John surgery. There's no guarantee he'll be good. There's no guarantee he won't suffer one of those like Jose Fernandez bicep tendonitis setbacks.
I'm not so sure I wouldn't give up Kluber and Pujols for Bautista. If it were a 10-team league, maybe. I wouldn't, but I think it's close. I would do this deal. Bautista would be the first one I'd draft of these guys, and I don't really like Pujols that much, so it's sort of like Kluber for Bautista. I don't know. I would definitely do this deal, actually. Darvish has to be pretty bad for this deal not to work out for you, I think. But okay, let's do another Darvish trade. From Kyle, give up Yu Darvish and Michael Wacha. Get Noah Syndergaard.
Well, first of all, we didn't grade that one, did we?
Oh, no, you didn't. Yeah, it wasn't a grade because it didn't happen. So
okay.
I'm okay with that.
But yeah, I'm glad you gave us an easier one this time. This is an A-.
B+.
I'll be honest, I didn't listen to that email.
Yu Darvish and Michael Wacha for Noah Syndergaard.
No.
A for honesty.
No, no. You wouldn't give up Darvish and Wacha for Syndergaard?
Oh, yes, I wouldn't do the other side.
Yeah, no, exactly.
A-. I was busy looking at the Twitter reaction to last night's Phil Koch Lorenzo Cain matchup.
Oh, that was that was very funny.
That finally happened, huh?
Because it was, you know, these graphics now, they have the pitcher above the hitter, and it said Coke, and then it said, you know, it was very funny. From Carlos, dear Russell, Ross, Rachel, and Chandler, I am in negotiations to give up David Price and Hanley Ramirez for Goldschmidt and Ellsbury. So he would give up Price and Hanley for Goldschmidt and Ellsbury. Give it a grade.
I would rather have Goldschmidt than Price. I think I'd still rather have Ellsbury than Hanley, so I'm going to give that an A.
Yeah.
I'll go B on it because I'm more conflicted about Ellsbury, but still a win.
From a professor in Kansas, grade the trade. Give up Archer and Rendon. Get DeGrom and Justin Upton. And he'd be replacing Rendon with Scope, which isn't so great.
Just a toxic acid swap.
Archer and Rendon for DeGrom and Upton.
I would rather have DeGrom and Upton, I think.
I definitely would. That's a B plus. Yeah.
Solid B.
Okay. From Jason, 12-team 5x5 category league. Here's a blockbuster, guys. Give up Altuve, Cespedes, and Hanley Ramirez. Altuve, Cespedes, and Hanley Ramirez for Bryce Harper, Mookie Betts, and Jason Kipnis.
Well, he thinks you're getting the best player in the deal.
No, no. You're giving up the second best player in the deal.
I think when you break it down into three individual trades, you're getting the best of each one.
It's a win. Altuve for Bryce, win.
I don't know about the Kipnis part, but it's enough of a win. I give that a B.
Al hates Jason Kipnis.
Yep.
All right, last one.
What's he doing this year? He's hitting a lot of singles.
I think the best thing about Jason Kipnis was when I said a couple of weeks ago about Jason Kipnis' good year last year, and Al basically dismissed the fact that he had a good year last year, and then looked at his stats and basically said, "Well, I didn't believe it, so it didn't happen."
Last one.
You know, it's kind of like when Adam asks, you know, do we believe in so-and-so?
Right. You don't believe in Jason Kipnis.
I don't think Jason Kipnis exists or his season.
He's the Santa Claus.
I don't think you could say he's having a good year this year, though.
Okay, guys. Last one from Dustin. Give up Felix Hernandez. Get Carlos Gonzalez.
I think it's fine. I don't think it's a huge win either way.
I think I would do it because in a three outfielder league, once Carlos Gonzalez gets hurt, there's somebody good in the waiver wire. And in a five outfielder league, outfielders are more valuable. So either way, I think I'd do it.
Yeah, I agree. C plus.
B.
C. Between B, C and ball. C plus.
All right, finally, Heath, I got to do the opening line podcast soon. I have to make a baseball bet. I might not do anything today, but how are the Royals underdogs? I think Ian Kennedy is like +125 at the Yankees against Nate Eovaldi.
I don't know if you know this or not, but Ian Kennedy is a fly ball pitcher, and they have this really, really short porch at Yankee Stadium in right field.
I don't think Adam knows about that.
Oh, yeah, but Dustin Ackley and Ben Gamel are really going to take advantage of that short porch.
Well,
I
would like to compliment the Yankees on a couple things. First, not fighting last night when Wade Davis intentionally hit Brett Gardner. And second, stockpiling a team full of guys that can hit the ball exactly 322 feet.
Yes. All right, that's it for today's show. You know, I wanted to have a bet with Heath about the Yankees Royals series, but I totally forgot, and they're probably going to split anyway, so wouldn't have mattered. So great story, Adam. Good job. Was my sharpest show for sure. This one's going to my Hall of Fame. Fool juice. See you later.